We're joined today by three women who are representing the Children at the Well Youth Interfaith Storytelling Project. We have Mary Murphy, storyteller and story coach, and two of the young participants from the program, Nimi Jeremiah and Adahetko. I know I mispronounced your name. I apologize. Nimi, what is it again?
Jeyaraman.
Jeyaraman and Ada.
Ada.
Adahetko. Nimi and Ada are 15-year-old high school sophomores. Nimi goes to Niskayuna High School and belongs to the Hindu Temple Society of the Capital District. Ada is at Shaker High School and is a congregant at Beth Shalom in Clifton Park. This is the second year of the project and the second year of the involvement for all three of you. The Interfaith Story Circle of the Tri-City area, composed of people of many faiths, holds monthly gatherings to share stories in order to promote peace and understanding. 2 years ago, a committee from the group developed the Children at the Well project to involve more young people in their mission. The proposal earned the 2006 Brimstone Award from the National Storytelling Network, enabling them to run their program for the first time this year. They're partly funded by a grant from the Stewart's Shops and from individual donors. A group of young people from the Hindu, Christian, Muslim, and Jewish faiths was gathered to work with two local story coaches, Mary Murphy, who joins us today, and Marnie Gillard. The students have been encouraged to delve into the wisdom of their faith traditions and find stories that speak to them, and they've been instructed in storytelling technique and developed their stories to tell at community performances and potluck suppers. The 2007 Children at the Well event will be held next Sunday, March 25th, 3 p.m. at the Niskayuna Reformed Church on Troy Schenectady Road, and everyone listening is invited to come and watch and listen and participate. So, Mary Murphy, where did you come up with this idea?
Well, we came up with it. It was Gert Johnson, who's the director of the Interfaith Storytelling group, and she decided that she wanted always to have youth. We've had many, many people interested in interfaith storytelling, and adults have gathered for many years now to tell stories and become friends and to unite around these stories. But she felt that it would be something to bring the youth into it and have the lower generation, the younger generation, come and be a part of it. Come to the well, so to speak, and join in with our storytelling.
Is that where the name comes from?
Well, it is sort of, because the well, you consider it the center of the town. You consider it the place where people gather. The community comes together. Why not bring the children into it? And as they grow up, they'll be one. They'll be in the community.
Is there anything about today's world that might have suggested to you that it was time to do something like this?
Oh, yes. I think one of the reasons that the Interfaith Story Circle formed in the first place was to promote peace and understanding through hearing other people's stories. And I know from my own faith tradition, and I'm sure from many others, that we never connect with people of other faiths. I mean, we might connect with them as store clerks or business partners or colleagues, but in that area of their life, the community that they worship in, we know nothing about each other, really. We're all strangers. And so bringing everybody to the well, we've learned so much. Marnie and I have learned so much about other faith traditions. We've learned where we're different and where we're the same.
So where do the stories come from? Do they come from the Bible or the Quran or
not necessarily
the holy books?
They could come from the holy books. That's certainly a possibility, but they come from the folklore of the people that gather at the well, so to speak. They come from folk tales and fairy tales that help to explain, for example, creation myths might be very important. And every culture has their own creation myth, and they bring that to the well with them to share in the stories. And so they come, and they have to be stories that speak to you. I always say when I'm teaching children, you have to like the story. It has to speak to you personally. Otherwise, there's no way you can tell it. It doesn't stick to you. But when they find a story, and all of these students have found stories within their faith tradition, within their culture, some humorous, some very serious, but all the stories spoke to those students, and therefore learning it was very simple.
And it was a reflection on you, the students who are telling the story, because you chose the story. So, Ada, what stories did you choose and why?
Well, I've done some different performances, so I've chosen different stories. But last year, I chose one that was about a daughter of, a niece of Joseph from the Bible, and it was sort of a folk tale, but had a connection to the to a very familiar story, so that interested me a lot.
Did you identify with this niece of Joseph?
Definitely. She was a really interesting character who supposedly lived for thousands of years and lived through a lot of Jewish history. So, well, I really identified more with her character when she was young, but it was great to be able to describe her story when she was older, telling the people from not very long ago about what she experienced.
So you have learned storytelling techniques from Mary and Marnie. So how do you incorporate those techniques into the telling of this story?
Well, you use their suggestions to figure out what you like and what you're comfortable with. And I think you also learn a lot by example. Listening to really experienced storytellers, you learn so much about what you can do yourself.
So, Nimi, what kind of story did you pick?
Oh, there have been personal stories. Last year I talked about an experience where my family and we went to India, and in the airport in India we met up with this sort of diplomat. And my mom, who teaches at the Hindu temple, she was discussing mysticism and the Mahabharata, which is one of the ancient stories in Hinduism. And this man overheard her, and he said, "But what is God?" It was in the middle of a conversation.
In the middle of the airport?
Yeah.
Wow.
And she tried to answer in a very sort of Hindu kind of response, and he said, "That's not answering my question." And then he gave his own answer, which I think he was anticipating. And he said, "God is G-O-D, go on doing." And it's sort of this, no matter whatever happens to you, you go on doing the right thing because you know in your heart it's right. And I felt a connection then, and I wanted to bring that connection to the audience last year. And it just felt very good to repeat that story.
What do you think you've learned from this adventure, telling stories?
Just that it's storytelling invites you to make the connection with the other person. And Mary just talked about it. You're not trying to connect with them as a student or as whatever profession you are mostly known by in the community. You're connecting with them in a deeper level as a human being, which it's very appealing as the storyteller and as the recipient of the story.
There are so many current events in the world that would like to make our differences the more pronounced than our similarities. Do you think that the stories that you tell show that we're more similar than different?
Oh, yes. In fact, it sort of breaks down the barriers of what we think are what makes each other makes each other differently.
I know what you were talking about.
Yes, thank you.
So, Mary, this is wider than just Tri-City. There are many groups that are participating in this?
Well, groups all over the country, I think, are beginning to notice interfaith storytelling. And as a matter of fact, the Children at the Well, through the Brimstone Grant, has created a model or a kit that people can download and find their own way through what we've done and create their own interfaith storytelling youth and interfaith storytelling circles.
You've created a template.
Yes.
That's a great idea. So for more information, people can go to interfaithstory.org, interfaithstory.org. And what kind of groups are you hoping take your model and run with it?
Well, we'd love to have church groups or synagogue groups. We'd love to have people that come together in spiritual formations anyway, latch onto this and find their own cultures, find their own stories within their culture, and bring them to the table. So literally, this storytelling is for everybody, and everybody is a storyteller. So we want to bring everybody together, and there is no holds barred, no person that we don't want to invite.
Ever sense any conflict between two students of different faiths?
I have never yet experienced that in anything that I've done. We've experienced times when people maybe on an adult level have questioned a phrase or a word that maybe didn't sound right to their ears, but never, never anything from the students.
Ada, did you want to add anything to this conversation?
I think sometimes people are, sometimes kids are uncomfortable with certain ideas, but we've learned to kind of just put that aside because it's more important to just tell good stories.
Do you think that if we used this idea of telling stories and sharing similarities on a more international level, that there would be perhaps more understandings between countries rather than misunderstandings?
Definitely. I mean, you can talk about religions in history class or something like that, but before you really talk to people who are devoted to different religions, you can't really understand.
It's important that not only is this interfaith, but it's also intergenerational. So you are getting young people as well as their parents and their grandparents. Why was that important to the Children at the Well?
Well, I think it's important to Children at the Well because it is all of the community, and we want to be able to have students respected for the stories that they tell, and we want the students to respect the elders for the stories that they tell, for the stories that they bring to the table. And often when the students are meeting and working on their story techniques, the parents are gathering and discussing questions or learning about different faiths or telling stories themselves.
What have your parents said about this?
Oh, my mom loves it. She loves the idea of us getting together from different religions and realizing we have almost the same ideas, the same wants. We want the same kind of respect and love, and just we want to share these kind of stories with each other. So she loves it that I've joined this group.
So what's going to happen on Sunday?
Oh, we're going to tell our stories, and we're going to have a potluck dinner, and it'll be very exciting again.
What can people expect? What kind of dinner? Potluck dinner?
Yes, it's a vegetarian potluck dinner. We only want you to bring vegetarian dishes, and we'll gather at the Niskayuna Reformed Church, both in the sanctuary, and then we're going to go over to the community center that they have there and have some more stories and have some potluck dinner and share stories at the table. See, that's the little extra component, is that as you sit around the table, as family and friends of the students that have just told their stories, we're going to ask you in your groups, in your table, to tell your stories, too. No pressure on anybody, but we think that it's a way of gathering the community further.
Okay, Mary, no pressure on you, but we have about 3 minutes. You want to tell us a story?
Well, I think actually Nimi has a story already.
Oh, great.
Okay, great. Oh, in Hinduism, we believe in one God. However, there are many manifestations. And one of those manifestations is Lord Krishna. And the story I'm going to tell you is how Lord Krishna wanted to test the wisdom of his kings. So he summoned two kings, and the first one was Duryodhana. And Duryodhana was known as this really cruel, awful king, and just greedy, everything you wouldn't want in a human being, just absolutely angry and frustrated and totally irrational. And Krishna asked him, I want you to go around the world and find me a truly good human being. So Duryodhana goes around the world and he comes back and he says, I couldn't find a good human being. So Krishna goes to the second king, King Dhammaraja, and he asks Dhammaraja, who is the polar opposite of Duryodhana, he's generous and kind and loving and forgiving and just everything you'd want in a good person. And he asks Dhammaraja, I want you to go around the world and find me a truly evil person. So Dhammaraja goes around the world, and he says to Lord Krishna, I have failed you. I couldn't find a truly evil person. There are misguided men, there are men who act in blindness, but there is no truly evil in this world. And what I like about this story is not just that the world is made up of good and evil, but that if you are angry, if you are frustrated, and you live in your own blindness, you won't be able to find good in this world. And if you are good, if you act in kindness, if you're generous, then you won't be exhausted by all the bad in this world because you'll always find the good in another human being.
If you are interested in hearing more of these kinds of stories told by really bright, interested, and interesting kids, we recommend that you visit the 2007 Children at the Well event. It's this Sunday, March 25th at 3 p.m. at the Niskayuna Reformed Church on Troy Schenectady Road, also known as Route 7. The community is cordially invited to attend, bring a vegetarian potluck dish, and that is your entry fee, and you'll get all the entertainment you want. You can come and tell your own stories. For more information, visit www.interfaithstory.org. interfaithstory.org. That's all one word, interfaithstory.org. I want to thank you so much for joining us. What a pleasure it's
been. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Up next, it's Gary.